All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Premiere with DJ Jazz here on Penguin Radio. So tonight on the show, we are out of the month of October, so we're not going to be focusing just on horror movies anymore. So we're going to be starting off the first show of November talking about the 1976 sports American drama known as Rocky. Rocky was directed by John G. Avildsen and is both written and starring Sylvester Stallone. It's a rags-to-riches story of an uneducated but kind-hearted Italian-American who's a working-class citizen and a boxer who gets a shot at the world title when he's called out by the defending champion, Apollo Creed. The film was a sleeper hit. It started slow after it originally came out and then rose to critical acclaim. And it was produced a number of sequels, including the movie Creed, which came out just this last year in 2015. So the basic plot of the movie, and as I said, there are many sequels to the movie. So you may have seen one or the other. There are a lot of them, but we're going to just start off with the first one right now, the original, which came out. So the year is late 1975, and Rocky Balboa, who is played by Sylvester Stallone, is a hard-living but failing boxer from an Italian neighborhood of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Between fights, he works as an enforcer for a local loan shark by the name of Tony Gazzo. And he basically just collects money and then intimidates people. But he's actually usually very sympathetic to the people that owe money. There's a scene very close to the beginning where he's supposed to break this guy's finger if he doesn't pay up. And he goes to do it, and the guy's asking him not to, saying, "Oh, please, please." And Rocky says, "Okay, I won't do it this time, but you better get your payment in next time." And then Tony Gazzo, when he meets with him later that day, kind of tells him, he's like, "Hey, I heard you didn't break that guy's finger." And he's like, "If you're going to be working for me, you need to be able to do this stuff when I tell you to do it." So although he's a big guy and he works for this loan shark, he's a little bit sympathetic and kind-hearted. So during this time, the world heavyweight boxing champion, Apollo Creed, who's played by Carl Weathers, announces he has a plan to hold a match in Philadelphia to celebrate the upcoming bicentennial of the U.S. It's 1975. The foundation was 1775, so it's 200 years. 1776, technically, because it's on the eve of 1975 New Year's. So, however, when he gets informed 5 weeks out from the fight date, his scheduled opponent, Mack Lee Green, is unable to compete because he has an injury to his hand. So Apollo and his team go through lists of all these different fighters, and they basically find that they're all either unavailable or booked up. And Apollo gets upset at this. He kind of calls them all scared. And it's mostly just because his plans are sort of going down the toilet. He wanted this big spectacle, because he is the champion of the world heavyweight, and he kind of wants to, he has a really big ego in the film, and you really get the sense that he wants to put on this show just to show off his own fighting prowess. So they go through all these lists of competitors, and they can't really find anyone that would suit the fight. So Apollo comes up with the idea that they let a local small-time boxer fight him instead, sort of giving the little guy a shot at the big time, is what he says. And so they pull up another large group of lists of all the local boxers in Philadelphia, and after a while of them looking through them, Apollo finally goes, "Here, this is the guy we're gonna call." And he finds Rocky's name in the newspaper, and he likes his nickname, which is the Italian Stallion. And so he also enjoys the fact that Rocky fights Southpaw. So Southpaw is actually a style of boxing, which means that the boxer's dominant hand is their left, or like their left is their stronger hand. And so in a stance when they box, they lead with their right foot and they use right jabs, quick punches, and then they keep their left back and ready for a bigger swing or a hook. So Rocky meets with this man, Miles Jurgens, who's the fight promoter, and he goes in assuming that he got contacted because Creed is looking for sparring partners who are local. Then the team offers him this deal. So at first, Rocky's actually really reluctant. He doesn't think he has the time to get ready or the necessary materials he needs to train. But they talk him into it a little bit, so he eventually agrees. And the team also lets him know that the fight will pay him out. No matter what happens, the fight will pay him out $150,000. So no matter whether he wins or loses, he will be getting a payout. So while talking about his situation with his friend is this loud, aggressive, also Italian-American, alcoholic named Paulie, and he's played by Burt Young. And so he's talking about it, this situation that he's into Paulie, and he meets Paulie's sister, Adrian, who's played by Talia Shire. And she's really reclusive and shy, and she doesn't say much. And she, the first couple times you see her, she's wearing like three coats, like she layers up. And she's wearing a big hat. And the only part of her you really see are her eyes, which are behind glasses. So she works at as a clerk at a local pet store. And Rocky runs into her and asks her out on a date where they actually go to an ice skating rink. And he gives her some skates, and then he just slides around on his shoes. And he basically just tells her the story of him when he was younger, and he wasn't a smart kid, so his dad told him when he was younger that he should use his body. So he started boxing at a very young age. And so while he's talking, Adrian mostly just listens. She's really shy, and Rocky even says, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going on. Do you want to say anything?" And she goes, "No." And he's like, "Oh, well, you don't talk much, huh?" And she goes, "No." And he's like, "Oh, well, that's all right. I tend to talk too much." And so he really does like her, and he's kind of trying to just point out stuff that's going good for both of them or that they have in common. So he finally gets her to kind of come out of her shell a little bit, and she starts to talk to him more, and she starts to talk to him about her life and her family, and they begin a relationship together. They begin going out. So while they're going out, Rocky is still attempting to train and get in shape for this fight, basically using whatever he can. And there's all the famous scene where he goes to this raw meat. It's a meat packing plant that Paulie runs, and he goes to this raw meat that's hanging inside the freezer, and he uses it as a punching bag. He tapes up his hands, and then he puts on a hoodie and a beanie, and he goes in and he just punches the meat like it's a punching bag. So while he's training, they put him on the news. What he does is he goes in and he punches it. So Rocky is then approached by a former boxer by the name of Mighty Mick Goldmill, who's played by Burgess Meredith, and he offers him assistance in training Rocky for the fight. And Mickey is a respected trainer, and he's a former bantamweight fighter from the 1920s. So when you see him in the movie, he's much older. He's got gray hair, and he has a hearing aid in the second movie. So he's a much older guy, but he offers to help Rocky train nonetheless. Mickey is the owner of a local boxing gym that Rocky actually goes to frequently. And Mickey would remark that Rocky is actually wasting his potential just doing these small-time fights. So Paulie actually starts becoming really upset and irritated with Rocky's success. He sort of becomes jealous of him. And he even goes so far as to destroy a holiday turkey, a Christmas turkey, that Adrian had spent the whole day making. He throws it around, and he gets really upset. And Rocky's able to calm him down by telling him that he'll promote the meatpacking plant at the fight for Paulie. And so he calms down a bit, and Adrian also stands up to him a bit after that night. And so Polly kind of starts to calm down a bit more, but he's still this really aggressive character. So the night before the match, Rocky goes to the arena by himself and just looks at the poster and the stands and how big it is. And he kind of walks the grounds alone with his thoughts. And after touring the arena, he gets really depressed and he goes to Adrian. And he confesses to her that he doesn't really expect to win the fight, but he's content if he can go the distance with Creed and then prove himself to everyone. So a lot in the movie you'll see and hear that Rocky just gets called a bum and a waste of talent, and he's really generally looked down upon, and no one really expects much of him. So this is seen as, at least for him, as his shot not to only to go for a boxing title, but also just to show what he's made of and to show everyone that he's more than what everyone thinks that he is, basically. He's more than just a bum. So on New Year's Day, the stage is all set for the boxing match, and Apollo Creed comes out and he makes this grand entrance with music and fireworks and confetti, and he comes in dressed as George Washington, and then he changes like midway to the ring and he looks like Uncle Sam. So Rocky's nervous, but he kind of gets a little bit more lighthearted as they get towards the ring. And he's making remarks about Apollo, like, oh, that's kind of funny what he's doing. So when they get in the ring, Rocky's actually able to take advantage of Creed's overconfidence. And so he strikes quick and knocks Creed down in the first round. And this also marks the first time that Creed has been knocked down in his professional career as a boxer. So everyone sees this as a major point or a major factor in Rocky's game, and it's only the first round. So Creed, who's humiliated by this, starts to take Rocky more seriously in the fight, but for the most part he still lets his ego get in the way in the fight. He'll underestimate or at least think he's better than Rocky, and he'll go for a big move, or he'll go in when he thinks he has him on the ropes, and then Rocky will come back and fight him off. So Creed is actually struggling, whether he shows it or not, or whether he would admit it or not, he was struggling fighting Rocky in the ring. So the fight goes for the full 15 rounds, with both boxers sustaining many injuries. Rocky's nose gets broken, and then one of his eyes actually becomes so swollen, completely swollen, shut, and it forces, Rocky actually tells Mickey to cut it open so that it can sort of relieve the swelling and so Rocky can see the punches coming in. And Apollo sustains a bunch of blows to his ribs, and I think he breaks a few. And when they take him to the hospital after the match, they find out that he's actually sustained substantial internal bleeding as well. So the match goes for the full 15 rounds, and as it nears the final rounds, Creed's skill is getting countered just by Rocky's unlimited ability to absorb these punches. Because if you watch the movie, if you watch any of the Rocky movies, but especially the first two, when Rocky is in the ring, he doesn't really block any punches. He just keeps his head forward and absorbs them. Every time Apollo gives him a punch, he's never blocking it. But Apollo in some scenes will put his hands up and try and block these headshots that are coming in from Rocky. So, Creed is a skilled fighter, but he's getting beaten nonetheless just by Rocky's ability to absorb these punches and then his refusal just to not be knocked out. And this is sort of a combination of his heart, which is he's just willing to or trying to go the distance. He doesn't think he's going to win, but he's trying to put his all into it because he's trying to show people what he's made of. And it's also a combination of the training that Mickey has given him and prepared him for this fight. So the final round actually ends with each fighter just exhausted. Neither one of them gets knocked out or knocks the other one out. And they both get rushed off pretty quickly because they both need medical attention. Both fighters are locked at the end in each other's arms. They're in a grapple. And they, while they're just sort of alone before all the media and everyone rushes in, they promise to each other that there will not be a rematch or that they won't fight each other again. So with the fight over, the sportscasters and the fans just go wild and everyone's all over the stadium. The fight promoter Jurgens announces that the fight was the greatest exhibition of guts and stamina in the history of the ring. So he's sort of promoting it even more, even though it's already over. The final winner ends up being Apollo by the way of split decision. So Rocky, at this point, he's not even paying attention to what the announcers are saying. He's standing in the ring calling out for Adrian. And Adrian and Paulie are actually at the fight, but they're being held back by security. So Paulie's able to distract the security for a second, and Adrian slips by. And she rushes onto Rocky, and she runs to him, and they hug. And she says, "I love you," and he says, "I love you too." And so the movie ends as Rocky and Adrian are kissing in the center of the boxing ring. And there's all the fanfare going on around him, and they just don't even care about the decision or that Rocky didn't win. They're just happy that, you know, they're each okay, that Rocky's okay. So it's a happy ending, even though he doesn't really win. So at this point, we're going to take a little break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about the cast of the movie. This is the premiere with DJ Jazz on Penguin Radio. All right, everybody, welcome back to the premiere with DJ Jazz. We were just talking about Rocky, the boxing movie starring Sylvester Stallone and Carl Weathers. And so now we're going to get into the cast of the first movie of Rocky. And we're going to start with the main character, Rocky Balboa, who is played by Sylvester Stallone. So on March of 1975, Stallone saw the Muhammad Ali-Chuck Wepner fight. So after that fight, he went home, and for 3 days and 20 straight hours, he spent writing this script. And after that amount of time, he had had this final script. But Stallone actually subsequently denied that the Wepner fight had provided any inspiration for his script. Wepner, although, disagreed, and he actually filed a lawsuit, which was eventually settled with Stallone for an undisclosed amount. So Stallone attempted to sell the script to multiple studios with the intention of playing the lead role himself. Irwin Winkler and Robert Chartoff became interested and offered Stallone $350,000 for the rights, but had their own casting ideas for the lead role, including Robert Redford and Burt Reynolds, which would have been interesting. But Stallone refused to sell unless he played the lead character, and eventually, after a substantial budget cut to compromise, it was agreed he could be the star. So the name, iconography, and fighting style of Rocky Balboa are all inspired by the legendary heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano from Brockton, Massachusetts. Balboa was also inspired by other fighting legends Joe Frazier for his Philadelphia origin, and as well as his training methods and then victory over Muhammad Ali, who was actually the inspiration for the fighter Apollo Creed, who Carl Weathers plays. At this point in his life, Stallone was actually very poor, and he had a dog, and he actually had to sell his dog so that he could continue living. And after he was paid for the rights to his script, he looked up and found the man that he had sold his dog to and went back and asked if he could buy his dog back. The man actually asked for more than what he had originally given Sylvester Stallone for the dog, which is really rude and really inconsiderate to think about it. It's really nice of that person to do that. But he accepted nonetheless and paid the man. And if you watch the sequel, and I think the first one, the dog that Rocky owns, his name is Budkiss, that's actually the dog that he went and found and then bought back. That's his actual dog. You see him a lot in the second movie. So Stallone received critical acclaim for his performance in Rocky, earning an Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations. When Stallone actually reprised the role again for Creed in 2015, his performance received outstanding reviews, and he received his first Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actor, along with his third Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor, and he also got the National Board of Review Award for Best Supporting Actor, as well as several other accolades. It's one of his more famous roles. Sylvester Stallone's also known for playing Rambo. He's also in the Expendables movies, where Dolph Lundgren is also on their team, and Dolph Lundgren plays a boxer that Sylvester Stallone actually fights in one of the Rocky movies. So Sylvester Stallone, that was sort of his big break and what brought him into the public eye. Talia Shire plays Adrian Panino. Originally, Stallone actually offered the role to Carrie Snodgrass, and she turned it down just due to the low salary that she was offered, because it was a very low budget film. Susan Sarandon was also considered, but she was turned down because they thought she was too, her as an actress and her role or her previous roles had seen her as very bold and independent, and so she was too much of that character to play a sort of mousy character like Adrian. And I've talked about it before on previous shows. It's sort of when an actor is so known for such an iconic role that when they go to another movie to play something else, some people can only see them as that iconic role. So their previous work will sort of bleed into their new projects. And it's unfortunate, but it does happen a lot. So Talia Shire auditioned actually for the role, and then she was eventually selected. She asked Rocky in the film, an interesting point is she asked Rocky in the film why he wanted to fight, and he talks about how his father told him, you know, he didn't have much brain, so he should develop his body. And Adrian is surprised by this, and she remarks that her mother said that she didn't have, or she wasn't much of a body person or a body girl, so she should develop her brain. And Rocky goes, oh, well, that's perfect. Look at that. We could look out for each other. And it's one of those moments, again, where it's Rocky bringing up the fact that they could work as like a perfect couple. So shortly after the first fight and at the beginning of the sequel, Rocky and Adrian eventually become married. And then in the second one, they have a son that they name after Rocky. Talia Shire was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actress for portraying Adrian in Rocky, And the final scene in Rocky II, where Rocky holds up the belt, the championship belt, and yells, "Yo, Adrian, I did it." That's been named by film enthusiasts and critics as one of the most iconic quotes in not only sports film history, but film history. Burgess Meredith plays Mickey Goldmill, or Mighty Mick. Mickey, his character and the character's really rough, gravelly voice and his intense demeanor and all the crazy and popular catchphrases that he says help make him this really highly recognizable character. And he's Mickey and that character is a common source of parody and satire in pop culture. They've made fun of him on Family Guy and South Park and all these other different shows. It's just because he has a lot of really good lines. He has a lot of really funny lines, but also, especially in the second movie, he has a lot of really important dialogue. He really snaps Rocky back into it and back into training a couple times in the first and the second movie. And his dialogue is just really good. And it's just funny because Burgess Meredith, in the film, he's a pretty small guy. Sylvester Stallone, who's not really that tall either, mid 5 foot range, you know, is already like several inches, if not a foot taller than him. But he's just got this gruff, really intense voice and this really aggressive, intense demeanor coming from this little old man. It's just really funny to see on screen. So Burgess Meredith is also known for playing the Penguin, as in the Batman villain, the Penguin, in the 1960s Batman television series starring Adam West. And he would wear basically this large purple top hat and then smoke a cigarette that was out of a long holder, and he would wear spats and dress shoes and basically look like what the comic books of that time made the Penguin look like in the Batman comic books. He actually also did some character roles on the TV show The Twilight Zone, which was also another popular show that aired back in the 1960s, and it just had to do with these different sort of bizarre scenarios that went on. I believe The Twilight Zone is actually on Netflix. So if you've ever seen Black Mirror, which is also on Netflix, Black Mirror is it's a show where every different episode there's a different sort of parody or satire about a social situation or something going on currently. So it's kind of interesting. Twilight Zone is just sort of like these different bizarre tales and like aliens. And I think there was one interesting one where this very close neighborhood of friends heard about a bomb threat, and only one of the group of friends has a bomb shelter, and they all start trying to get into the bomb shelter. And they first it's just them pleading, and then it's like, "Why don't you let us in? We're your friends." And then they get aggressive and they end up breaking down the door. And I think in the end they find out that it was a test flight of a new U.S. Military aircraft. And so in the end there was nothing to fear. It's just a really interesting show, just to get off track a little bit there. It is on Netflix, Twilight Zone. It's an older show from the 1960s, black and white, but it is really interesting to watch, as is Black Mirror. Black Mirror is a little bit more current, a lot more people I know today watch it. So if you want something more current of the same style where it's like these odd social situations, I'd recommend Black Mirror. So Burgess Meredith was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor and his performance in the first Rocky film. Carl Weathers plays Apollo Creed. So Carl Weathers is an American actor, and he's also a former professional football player. He played football as a linebacker in college and the NFL. His college career started in 1966 at Long Beach City College. He didn't play in 66 due to an ankle injury he suffered. He actually tripped over a curb that was surrounding the running track when he was warming up for practice with friend and fellow linebacker Paul Snow. So he transferred and played at San Diego State University, becoming a letterman in 68 and 69. He had a brief professional career with the Oakland Raiders, and he played seven games in 1970 and one in 1971. He joined the BC Lions of the Canadian Football League in 71 and played until 1973, ending up in 18 games total before he ended his Canadian football career. So during the off seasons, Weathers attended San Francisco State University and finished his bachelor's in drama, and he finished it in 1974. So he retired from football in 1974 and began pursuing an acting career. He also appeared in other roles like Dylan in the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's another really classic horror sci-fi movie, is Predator. He also played a more lighthearted role as the one-handed retired golfer Chubbs in the Adam Sandler movie Happy Gilmore. So if you've seen Happy Gilmore, the guy who has a wooden hand and he's a retired golfer, that's Apollo Creed. And when I saw each movie, I saw them really a couple years apart, I think. And I had to like look at them side by side before I realized. But yeah, so Chubbs from Happy Gilmore is actually Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Apollo Creed. Sylvester Stallone, Rocky's nickname as a boxer is the Italian Stallion. Carl Weathers, or Apollo Creed's nickname as a boxer, was the Master of Disaster. So, in his professional football career, he played for Hall of Fame coaches like Don Coryell at San Diego State and John Madden with the Raiders. Stallone actually asked Weathers, Mr. T, who plays fighter James Clubber Lang in Rocky III, and Dolph Lundgren, who plays Russian fighter Ivan Drago in Rocky IV, for permission to use footage of them from the movies if they decide to make more sequels. So they all agreed except Carl Weathers, and he wanted an actual part in the movies. Although in Rocky IV, here's a spoiler alert just in case you haven't seen all the Rocky movies. In Rocky IV, Apollo Creed fights Ivan Drago, and he's fatally beaten. He's fatally killed in the boxing ring. So Stallone didn't think he should have a part since his character had been killed off, which, you know, the common sense behind that sounds solid. So Stallone refused, and Weathers decided not to allow Stone to use his image for any flashbacks or pull up any images from the previous Rocky movies. So whenever they needed to use Carl Weathers' image as Apollo, they would use footage of a fighter who looked similar to Carl Weathers. So when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the final character, Pauly, and his cast member, Burt Young. So until then, this is The Premiere with DJ Jazz on Penguin Radio.
Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. Did you know that Penguin Radio started in the year 2000 and has been broadcasting 24/7 for 13 years? Penguin Radio has been ranked top 20 in the nation among online college radio. DU Did You Know is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Broadcasting worldwide from the Yukon to the Euphrates, from Mumbai to Dubai, from San Fran to Japan, broadcasting to all corners of the universe and beyond. It's radio.dominican.edu.
And we'll never be royal.
All right, we're back here on the premiere, and just in case that music didn't give you the hint, we are talking about Rocky today on the show, and so we're going to get back into talking about the cast, and we're going to talk about Burt Young. Burt Young plays Polly Panino, who is Adrian's brother, and Burt Young actually made his name in film working and playing these working-class, tough, Italian-American characters, these sort of mobster-type characters. And he's one of four actors who have appeared in all of the first six Rocky movies. He received an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor, and in 2017, Burt Young's actually going to return to stage acting as an aged mob boss in the play The Last Vig. It's a new play written by Dave Varial, and the show is scheduled to run from January 14th to February 19th of 2017 at the Zephyr Theater in Los Angeles. So, some other inspirations to the script and to the characters. Boxer Joe Frazier actually had a cameo appearance in the film, and some of the plot's more memorable moments, such as Rocky's carcass punching in the scenes in the freezer, and when he runs up the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art as part of his training regimen. Those are actually taken from the real-life exploits of Joe Frazier, the boxer, for which he received no credit. The character Apollo Creed was influenced by outspoken boxer Muhammad Ali, who fought Frazier three times. During the Academy Awards ceremony, Muhammad Ali and Sylvester Stallone actually got up on stage and had a pretty brief and fake kind of sparring match where they just rotated around and kind of had their hands up at each other, just to show that Muhammad Ali wasn't offended at all by the film. So due to the film's pretty much low budget, members of Sylvester Stallone's family actually played minor roles in the film. His father is the one that rings the bell to signal the start and the end of the rounds. His brother Frank plays a street corner singer, and his first wife Sasha was a stills photographer in the editing and all that of the film. So the film had a relatively low budget in terms of film In terms of what the budgets are in these larger films today, the budget they got was not big at all. So to have his family come in and play these parts was a perfect idea. And I also imagine that making a movie with your family or having your family in the movie or in a big bit budget production is probably pretty cool or pretty fun to be a part of, pretty fun family activity. So the film was actually made on a budget of just over $1 million, and it was shot in only 28 days, so in less than a month. So although Chartoff and Winkler, the two who approached Stallone originally about the script, although they were enthusiastic about the script and the idea of Stallone playing the lead character, they were hesitant about having someone who is an unknown actor headline the film. They weren't sure if it would draw enough people in to see the movie when it came out. And the producers also had trouble casting the other major characters in the story. Apollo and Adrian's parts were actually cast really late by production standards, and they were actually both ultimately cast on the same day, Carl Weathers and Talia Shire. So real-life boxer Ken Norton was actually initially sought for the role of Apollo Creed, but he pulled out, and the role was eventually he pulled out due to prior commitments due to his career, boxing career, and the role was given to Carl Weathers. Norton had three fights with Muhammad Ali, upon which Creed was based. So they thought that him being in the role would he would have some insight on how to portray that sort of character. But he was not able to be part of the movie, so they relied on Carl Weathers. Principal photography for Rocky began on January 6th of 1976. And filming took place primarily throughout Philadelphia, with a few scenes actually being shot in L.A. Rocky is often cited as the first film to use the Steadicam technology. Steadicam was also used, I talked about, in The Shining. In that episode of the premiere, Steadicam is just this, you can move the camera on your person, or you can move the camera while you're filming, without all the shakiness of the camera on the rig or the cameraman's movements being transferred onto the actual camera scene, so it doesn't show up. So Rocky is often cited as the first film to use Steadicam, although it's chronologically the third after Bound for Glory and Marathon Man, two other movies who used it first. Certain elements of the story were altered during filming. The original script had a much darker tone. Mickey was sort of portrayed as a racist, and there was some dialogue he had directed towards Apollo. And the script actually ended with Rocky throwing the fight after he realized he didn't want to be part of the professional boxing world at all. He loses the fight on purpose to Apollo. So during filming, both Sylvester Stallone and Carl Weathers actually suffered injuries during shooting the final fight scene. Sylvester Stallone suffered bruised ribs, and Carl Weathers suffered a damaged nose. Funny enough, these are actually the opposite of what the injuries their characters in the film had. Rocky suffered a swollen eye and a broken nose, and then Apollo actually had his ribs busted up. So the first date between Rocky and Adrian in that scene, Rocky actually bribes the janitor of the ice rink to let them skate after he's done zambonying just before they close down the ice rink. And the reason that they actually shot it this way was because of the pressure on their budget. The scene was originally supposed to be shot when the skating rink was open during regular business hours, and there was supposed to be regular customers skating around them. However, the producers decided that they really couldn't afford to hire the dozens or even hundreds of extras that they would need to make it look like the skating rink was open. So they decided that Rocky sort of bribing the janitor to keep it open just for a couple minutes so they could skate was not only fitting for the script, but it was fitting for his character as Rocky and as for their budget. So the poster that's seen above the ring before Rocky fights Apollo Creed, to sort of just advertise it, it shows Rocky wearing red shorts with a white stripe, when in the movie, when he comes out to fight Apollo, he's actually wearing white shorts with a red stripe. So Rocky points this out in the movie, and when he points this out, Mickey tells him, "Oh, it doesn't really matter, does it?" And he goes, "Oh, no, I guess not." And according to the director, Alvildsen, in the DVD commentary that was just recently released, this was actually a mistake by the props department, this clash of colors. And they couldn't really afford to just repaint or remake another poster. So Sylvester Stallone wrote this brief commentary in the scene to make sure audiences didn't see it as a mess up by the production department. Avildsen said that the same situation arose when Sylvester Stallone got the robe that he was supposed to wear out before the boxing match. It came back from the costume department and it was really baggy and loose fitting, And because the Arobe got there on the day of the filming the scene, there was really no chance to try and trade it out or replace it or alter it. So instead of ignoring it and risk the audience sort of laughing at the appearance of the robe on screen, Sylvester Stallone again went back into the script and wrote dialogue where Rocky points out that it's too baggy. He goes, oh, you know, you think this robe looks okay? And Mickey goes, oh, yeah, you look great. And he goes, I think it's a little too baggy, Mick. And Mickey goes, ah, yeah, it's a little baggy. We'll get you a better one. So it's just they take these problems that they get and they run with them and they just thrive off of them is basically how they ended up filming the latter parts of this movie is they got these road bumps and they just kept going. So the musical score for Rocky, the main theme, which I just played before when we came back from break, was composed by Bill Conti. And he was previously known for composing the score for John G. Avildsen's WW and the Dixie Dance Kings in 1975. And it was ultimately rejected by the studio. So he hadn't made that big of a name for himself yet. David Shire, who was the then husband of Talia Shire, who plays Adrian, was the first person to be offered the chance to compose the music. But he had to turn it down due to prior commitments he had with other movies. So Avildsen reached out to Conti without the studio intervention just because of the film's low budget. He was able to make a lot of the decisions and recruit a lot of the people he wanted on his own without the studio in his ear. So for the budget for the music was actually only $25,000. Avildsen, that was it. That was all we had for everything. The composer's fee, to pay the musicians, to rent the studio, to buy the tape it was going to be recorded on, everything. So all they had was this $25,000, which is not a lot when you're going to make a score for a major film production. It's really not. So the main theme song, which is titled Gonna Fly Now, made it to number one on Billboard Magazine's Hot 100 list for week one, which was July 2nd to July 8th of 1977. And the American Film Institute placed it 58th on their 100 Years, 100 Songs list. Rocky grossed $5 million during its opening weekend and eventually reached $117 million at the North American box office. Adjusted for inflation, the film has earned nearly $460 million in North America at 2015 prices. And it was the highest-grossing film of 1976 in the U.S., going on to win Oscars for Best Picture, Best Director for John G. Avildsen, and Best Film Editing to Richard Halsey and Scott Conrad. The film received many positive reviews and ended up turning Sylvester Stallone into a major star. In 2006, the film was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. So, and then in the end, Rocky is considered to be one of the greatest sports films ever made and got ranked as the second best in the genre after Raging Bull by the American Film Institute in 2008. So Rocky, just the first film, has left a really large legacy behind. And when we get back from break, we're going to talk about that legacy. But until then, this is DJ Jazz on the Premiere.
Still listening. Here is the light.
All right, we're back here on the premiere, finishing up talking about Rocky, and we're going to talk about the legacy it has left behind as a film. So the famous scene of Rocky where he's running up the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and he gets to the top and he raises his hands up, has become sort of this really pivotal and iconic scene in film history. And the steps have become, have the title The Rocky Steps around Philadelphia, the nickname. In 1982, a statue of Rocky was commissioned by Sylvester Stallone and placed at the top of the steps for the filming of Rocky III, which stars Mr. T, who plays boxer Clubber Lang. So the city commerce director, Richard Doran, actually made a statement that claimed Stallone and Rocky had done more for the city's image than anyone since Ben Franklin. So he made this very bold claim about how much that Rocky and Stallone had done for the city. And he really has. He's sort of become one of the famous characters of Philadelphia, or a character that's famously known to be there. Just like Ferris Bueller is sort of a cultural and cult icon in Chicago. So differing opinions over the statue and where it should be placed led to its relocation to the sidewalk outside Spectrum Arena. And then it was actually temporarily returned to the top of the steps in 1990 for the filming of Rocky V. And then it returned there again in 2006 for the 30th anniversary of the original Rocky. This time they decided to just put it at the bottom of the steps instead of putting it all the way at the top. Later that year, it was permanently moved to a spot next to the steps. So if you go there today, the statue of Sylvester Stallone is there, but it's not at the top of the steps anymore. The scene itself has been parodied many times in other films. In 2008, in the movie Don't Mess with the Zohan, Phantom actually goes through a training sequence very similar to Rocky's. The music is somewhat different. He goes to a meatpacking plant and ends up punching live cows instead of just sides of meat. And then he runs up this dune in the desert where there's a statue of him there. And he goes up, he raises up his hands and throws punches. So that's one example. In the fourth season finale of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, as the credits are rolling, Will is seen running up the same steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. But when he gets to the top, as he's celebrating, he actually passes out in exhaustion. And while he's lying there and the credits are still rolling, a pickpocket comes up and takes his wallet and then actually steals his wool hat off his head as well and then leaves him there. and then Eddie Murphy also parodied the scene in his movie The Nutty Professor, which came out in 1996, where both when he's bigger and when he's skinnier, he runs up these steps and he does the same sort of raising your hands up and punching to parody the Rocky scene. And then during the 1996 Summer Olympics torch relay, Philadelphia native Don Staley was chosen to run up the steps and then light the torch. So the steps are a very iconic part of Philadelphia now. And while it's in front of this museum of art, the significance of these steps definitely would not have been the same had this movie never have been made. So that's going to wrap it up for this show tonight on the premiere. I want to thank you again for joining me, DJ Jazz, on the show, and come back another time to listen to Penguin Radio.